بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا القاسم المصطفى محمد
الله
صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الإيمان اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن ملك رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Alhamdulillah, we explained the title of this part. Now we move on to the text. Allama Halli says, أجمع العلماء كافة. أجمع العلماء كافة. There is consensus among scholars. All scholars have agreed. Okay? على وجوب معرفة الله تعالى. That it's compulsory to know God. وصفاته الثبوتية والسلبية. And to know what? His affirmative attributes and negational attributes. I don't use negative attributes, I say negational attributes. صفات ثبوتية affirmative, سلبية negational. وما يصح عليه وما يمتنع عنه. To know those things that are possible to be issued from God and those things which are impossible. There are certain things that you can think God may do them. And there are certain things that it's impossible that God does them. So you have to know what are the things that God does, what are the things that God doesn't do. وَالنُّبُوَّةِ Prophethood, knowing prophethood is wajib. Imama, knowing imama is wajib. Knowing ma'ad, resurrection is wajib. So all ulama have agreed without exception that it is wajib to know all these things. How to know them? If you go to page 14. Page 14. بالدليل لا بالتقليد. You have to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, His attributes, prophethood, imama, resurrection, based on arguments, reasons, not بالتقليد, not by following another person. In aqaid, in usul al-din, you have to have your own arguments and proofs. Okay, let us explain this part and then we continue with the rest of the text of Allama Halli. Now we have to explain few things. I have not yet explained anything. I just have read the text. Now we want to explain. So there are a few things to explain. One is, what is the act, the agreement? What is the consensus of ulama? This is one point. The second thing is, what is the basis of this idea? Why ulama have this idea that it is necessary to know God and prophethood and imam and so on and so forth? What are the arguments for that? Rational arguments and arguments from scripture, from Quran and Hadith. So we will talk about all these things, inshallah. So now let's go to the commentary. Page 12. قال أجمع العلماء كافة. He brings the beginning of the sentence and he says إلى آخره. إلى means إلى آخره. It's up to the end of the sentence. Okay. أقوله. I say. Who is saying this? Father and God.
Father and
God. The commentator.
Commentator.
He says, اتفق أهل الحل والعقد. Have you heard the expression أهل الحل والعقد?
You've heard it, but you don't know.
Yeah. Okay. حل is opposite to عقد. عقد means to tie. عقد. Yeah. عقد نفاثات في العقد. Yeah. You know, the magicians, they used to take ropes. Maybe still they do it. They take rope, they tie it, and then they blow into it. For example, they want to create a trouble for you so that you cannot do mubahasa. They make a tie, blow into it. Okay. نفاثات في العقد. نفاثات في العقد means this. Those who blow to their ties. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, عقد means to tie. Why we say, for example, for marriage or for other thing, عقد? Because we want to bring two sides. Maybe it is marriage, maybe other thing. عقد can be for marriage, عقد can be for purchase. عقد means a contract between two, for example, parties. So عقد means that these two parties come together and agree on something. It's عقد. حل means to untie. حل, to dissolve. حل والعقد. So حل here doesn't have good meaning of solution. This is to dissolve. But in this expression, حل والعقد, it means the people in whose hands decisions are made. Those people who can decide on behalf of the community what to do, what not to do. They are decision makers. Ahlul Hall wal Aqd. Okay? Did you understand now?
Okay.
Hal means to untie. Hal means untie. Aqd means to tie. So it means those who can tie and untie. Means those who can decide to do something or not to do something. Ahlul Hall wal Aqd. So, for example, in our community, if we want to do a project, who are the people that in our community can decide that we want to do this project?
Committee.
So, those people who can do this, yes. Sometimes in community, there are people who can decide not to do things. But unfortunately, those who can decide and do something are sometimes less. Anyway. أهل الحل والعقد, like the elite, the decision makers. Okay? Did you understand?
Yes.
Okay. So, اتفق أهل الحل والعقد من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على وجوب هذه المعارف. All the decision makers, all the elite of the nation of Islam, Sunni, Shia, here there's no disagreement. They all have agreement that these things that we mentioned, God, Nubuwwah, Prophethood, Imamah, Resurrection, these ma'arif are compulsory. You don't find any person who disagrees. Okay? وَإِجْمَاعُهُمْ حُجَّةٌ. Their consensus is hujjah. It's a valid reason. It's a proof. It's a valid reason. اتفاقاً. Again, there is agreement on the validity of their ijma. Why their ijma is hujjah? Inshallah, in usul, we discuss this in usul al-fiqh. But here, briefly, our Sunni brothers say ijma is hujjah because they have this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in the book. La tajtami'u ummati ala khata. The hadith is from Sahih Tirmizi, Sunan by Tirmizi. They say that the Prophet said, La tajtami'u ummati ala khata. My nation never agree on error. Yeah? So if my ummah have consensus, it must be on something which is not wrong, which is not false. So they say, based on this, ijma is hujjah. We don't have this hadith in our sources. But in some of my discussions about Shia Islam, in my book and other places, I said, even if we accept this hadith, practically this hadith would not be solving the differences that we have between Sunni and Shia, because those things that all Ummah agree on are the badihiyat. For example, all Ummah agree that Salat is wajib. Okay. But those things for which we don't have agreement, then those are the issues that you want to refer to ijma. And there's no ijma there. And this is why some of the Sunni scholars, then they said, we don't need ijma of all ulama. We need ijma of ulama of certain mazhab. But then this is not the hadith of the Prophet. Or they say ijma of even, for example, the fuqaha of Medina, for example. Or ijma of Ahlul Hal wal Aqd in certain country. But then this is not the hadith. So even if the hadith is accepted, we don't have the documentation for that hadith. But even if it's accepted, there is no problem in accepting this hadith as it is. Because whenever there is consensus in the ummah, it means that all mazahib agree on something, I think there would be no controversy. So, what about the Shia view? The Shia believe that consensus by itself is not hujjah. If one person can make mistake, 10 people can make mistake, 1 million people can make mistake, and all people can make mistake. Yes, if among those who agree, there is ma'sum, there is infallible, like prophet, like imam, then this ijma is hujjah. Because in this way, we can understand from the consensus of these people, the opinion of ma'sum. So if ijma helps us to discover the view of ma'sum, then that ijma is hujjah. So for us, ijma goes back to sunnah. It's a way to discover sunnah. Is it clear?
Yes.
We will discuss this in usul al-fiqh, inshallah. All these sciences, as we said, help each other. Yes? But just for the time being, he says, for us, ijma is hujjah, لدخول المعصوم فيهم, because معصوم is among them. وأما عند الغير, but for the others, non-Shia, فلقوله, because of this hadith that they quote from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا تجتمع أمتي على خطأ. My ummah would not agree on error. So, ijma is for all Muslims hujjah. Now, is this ijma based on something? Can we find a kind of basis for this ijma? Of course, inshallah, when we study usul, I would tell you that actually our ulama believe that when there is a basis for ijma, when we have what we call ijma and madraki, actually that ijma is not hujja. Okay? Can you guess why? Suppose all ulama agree on something, and there is a hadith that we know they all agreed on this fatwa because of that hadith. We say then this ijma is not hujja because it is madraki. What does it mean? It means that when there is a source on which the ijma is based, we have to check ourselves that hadith. If from that hadith our mujtahid becomes convinced that this is the fatwa, then he issues fatwa. If he's not convinced, even if all ulama understood this hadith in that way, that ijma is not hujja for us. If, of course, the view of ma'soom is known, that's another issue. If you know what is the opinion of ma'soom, that's another issue. But I'm saying agreement of ulama. If there is agreement of ulama and we don't know ma'soom was one of them, when that agreement is based on hadith, actually that hadith then becomes the main focus. Because Shia always go back to the original text. So a faqih in the 14th or 15th century goes back to the same hadith, same ayah, that was available or were available to the early scholars. So you respect the scholarship, you read the books, you try to understand their arguments, not like some people who jump and open a book of hadith and give fatwa. This is wrong. You cannot ignore 14 centuries of scholarship. It's childish. But after studying this scholarship, then you have to refer to the Quran and hadith and by yourself make sure that this hadith is first authentic and secondly, what is the indication of the hadith and ayah. This is the beauty of our ijtihad. That at the same time that we have a scholarship, but we are not filtered by the fatwas of previous generations. We are inspired by them. We are educated by them, but not restricted by them. It's the beauty. Your teacher, your marja, your alim is something that inspires you. You have great love and respect for them, but they should not close your mind. So they say, I only accept my teacher. I have no respect for anyone else. Or I accept my mujtahid or my faqih. No one else. No. Your mind must be open, but you have to also benefit from the scholarship, from teachers, from ulama, from maraji. This is a very important issue. We don't have time to talk about it. Anyway, this is something that we should discuss about ijma later. But in any case, ijma is there is also the basis for ijma. And our main focus then becomes the basis. Okay? What is the basis for this ijma? Why all ulama said that we have to know God? We have to study aqaid. Why? So, he says, we have intellectual arguments and we have a scripture-based argument. وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَى وُجُوبِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ. The reason, the argument for obligation of ma'rifah, sanadan lil ijma, as a backup or as a basis for ijma, is this. Because ijma by itself was dalil, was a reason, but sanadan, as a backup, as a support. Aqliyan wa sam'iyan, Who can tell what is aqliyan wa sam'iyan from nahvi point of view? Aqliyan wa sam'iyan. Why it is majrur? Ala is not on the, ala is ala wajhain. Ala wajhain. So wajhain is majrur because of harf jar. But why we say aqliyan wa sam'iyan?
Is it badan? Like badan?
Exactly. First of all, this is tabi'. Which type of tabi'? Badal. Which type of badal? Badal tafsir. Badal tafsir. So, wajhain is divided into aqliyan wa sam'i. Aqli wa sam'i together are badal alternative for wajhain. Is it clear? I hope I'm not confusing you by saying these things. These are the things that I want to you to master. I explain. Aqli means intellectual, rational. Aqli. We have intellectual arguments, rational arguments. Sam'i. Sam' means to hear, to listen to. Sam'i is nisbat, means something which is related to sam'. Like aqli is related to aql, sam'i is related to sam'. What does it mean? It means that this is not a rational argument. This is an argument which is based on hearing. Sometimes they call naqli, sometimes they say sam'i, but many times they say naqli, means transmitted. To make it clear, I say a scripture-based, text-based, a scripture-based, which means from Quran and Hadith. Naqli or Sam'i means from Quran and Hadith. Okay? Because here, you listen to the Prophet and Imam or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words in the Quran, and this is the argument. There is an ayah in the Quran that brings Sam and Aql together. What is the ayah? قَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيمِ. Had we listened or thought, we were not now in hell. لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ. So نَسْمَع means listening to the prophets. أَوْ نَعْقِلْ. Or if we were using our own aql. So why they ended up with being in hell? Because they didn't use their aql and they didn't listen to the prophets. لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيمِ. Is it clear?
Yes.
Okay. So, we have intellectual argument and we have a scripture based from Quran and Hadith. Some people say transmitted, some people say scripture based. Okay. أَمَّا الْأَوَّلِ. The first, which one? Aqli. فَلِّوَجْحَيْن. We have two arguments. There are two ways mentioned here to argue rationally for the necessity or obligatoriness of ma'rifah. The first reason, the first intellectual reason. أَنَّهَا دَافِعَةٌ لِلْخَوْفِ الْحَاصِلِ لِلْإِنسَانِ مِنَ الْإِخْتِلَافِ. أَنَّهَا دَافِعَةٌ لِلْخَوْفِ الْحَاصِلِ لِلْإِنسَانِ مِنَ الْإِخْتِلَافِ. One of the good things about this version that I gave you is that it has all the Arab. Yes, it's good.
It's very good, yeah. Alhamdulillah.
This ma'rifah, dafi'atun lil khawf. You remember I explained for you the difference between daf'a and rafa. So, dafi'atun lil khawf means there is fear, but we want to
repent.
Not to come to us.
To defend us.
You want to defend. Raf means the khawf has come. Here we want to defend, to keep it away. When human beings are aware of ikhtilaf, of controversy, disagreement, yes, then there is a fear. You know, as soon as you know people disagree, then you are worried. If I am on the wrong side, what happens? Yes? So there is a pain. There is an intellectual pain. To protect yourself against this fear, you have to do a study. So you have to see. Some people say God exists. Some people say God doesn't exist. Who is right? Doesn't this disturb you? Doesn't this bring pain to you that there is disagreement? Can you just say, I don't bother? You know, some people think that by not studying religion, then it's easier for them. But a rational person, when it sees that there is disagreement and controversy, especially on such an important issue that can totally change your life, cannot say, I don't bother. So, this ma'rifah, ha refers to ma'rifah, yes? This ma'rifah, dafi'atun, defense, protects you against khawf, fear. Al-hasil, which is caused, lil insan, for human being, min al-ikhtilaf, because of disagreement, conflicts of opinions. Vadaf al-khawf wajibun. It's necessary, obligatory to protect yourself against khawf. Is it wajib shari or aqli? It's wajib aqli. Yes? لأنه, why it is necessary? لأنه ألم نفساني. This is a psychological pain. ألم means pain. Yes? This is a psychological pain. يمكن دفعه. And we can be defending ourselves and securing ourselves against this pain. فَيَحْكُمُ الْعَقْلِ بِوُجُوبِ دَفْعِهِ. Then Aql says, if you can avoid this pain, you should do it. Sometimes there is a pain that you cannot do anything. Yeah? For example, you don't know what is going to happen to the, for example, your children. Maybe I cannot do anything. I do my best, but in the end, I don't know what is going to happen. There is a fear, but I cannot do anything. What is going to happen to, I don't know, my work? But something for which you have a solution, you have a way to protect yourself against the pain of fear, then you have to do something. فَيَجِبُ دَفْعُهُ. So it's important, it's necessary, obligatory to defend and protect yourself. Okay, so this is the first argument. So what's the first argument? The necessity of protecting yourself against psychological pain caused by the fear, which is caused by controversies. This is the first argument. The second argument is what you find it in many books. وجوب شكر المنعم. Rationally, someone who has given us blessings, has helped us, has been generous with us, rationally, we have to be thankful. Yeah? It's a rational responsibility that someone who has given you a lot, you have to be grateful. Okay? You have the gift of life, you have the gift of intellect, you have many gifts. health, memory, family, friends, money. You have many gifts. Yeah? You have the gift of Hose. You have the gift of the studies, classmates, teachers, books, all these things. Safety. Some people say these gifts come by chance, by accident, or after explosion. There was explosion, these gifts were distributed. Some people say there is a kind and merciful Lord who has given us these blessings. Aql says, you have to find out. If there is someone who has given you all these things, you have to find him and be grateful to him. This is Aql's saying here. Yeah. Aql cannot say, okay, don't bother about finding out this, just use these things. Yes? So, rationally, being grateful and thankful to the one who has given you the blessings is compulsory. Wujubu shukr al mun'im. Mun'im means the one who gives a ni'mah, bounties. Shukr means gratefulness. Wujub means obligation. So, the second rational argument is this. Anna shukr al mun'im wajibun. To be grateful to the one who has given you blessings is rationally compulsory. وَلَا تَتِمُّ And this وَلَا يَتِمُّ أَحْسَنُ And this cannot become completed إِلَّا بِالْمَعْرَفَةِ يعني لا يتم الشك هو goes back to shuk. You cannot thank without knowing. You have to know who is the one who has given you this, and then you thank him. So, أَمَّا أَنَّهُ وَاجِبٌ فَلِاسْتِحْقَاقِ الذَّمِّ عِنْدَ الْعُقَلَىٰ بِتَرْكِهِ Shukr is wajib because uqala, rational people, say that the one who does not show gratitude deserves blame. Is a blameworthy. Yes? Uqala, rational people, they say the one who doesn't show gratitude deserves, istihqaq means deserves, dham, blame. So this is why shukr is wajib. Then why we said shukr cannot be completed without ma'rifah? Wa amma annahu la yatimmu illa bil ma'rifah. The second thing, why shukr cannot be completed, cannot be achieved without knowing. فَلَأَنَّ الشُّكْرِ إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ بِمَا يُنَاسِبُ حَالَ الْمَشْكُورِ Because there must be a match between gratefulness and the one that you want to thank. For example, imagine a person who has helped you is not able to hear. He's deaf. So if you 100 times say, you know, thank you, you have not thanked him because he cannot hear this. Yes? Or a person who is feeling cold, you take ice to him and say, you know, thank you for all the thing. I want to give you ice. This is not shukr. Yes, a person who is in very hot, you know, climate, taking him ice can be a sign of gratitude, sign of appreciation. Yes? But taking ice to someone who is freezing is not appreciation. So there must be a kind of match, a kind of resemblance. So, if someone says to God, oh God, you have been very kind to me, I want to invite you to my home for a meal. Doesn't make sense. I want to build a house for you and, I don't know, for your horse and feed your donkey, you know, as that person said, you know, in the time of Musa alayhi salam. this is not making sense. So you have to know whether someone has given you these blessings, and then you have to know about that person so that you know how to thank him. So it's important to know. So not only to know that someone has done this, also to know how he is. Is it clear?
Yes.
وَأَمَّا أَنَّهُ لَا يَتِمُّ إِلَّا بِالْمَعْرِفَةِ فَلِأَنَّ الشُّكْرِ إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ بِمَا يُنَاسِبُ حَالَ الْمَشْكُورِ. Gratitude can only be shown, can only be practiced with something which suits يُنَاسِب, is suitable for the condition, hal, the condition of مَشْكُور. Mashkur is the one who is thanked. Shakir and Mashkur. Shakir is thankful. Mashkur is the one who is thanked. Okay? Is Allah Mashkur or Shakir?
Mashkur.
Here is Mashkur, but he is also Shakir. Actually, Allah is very grateful. It's Shakur. Maybe I told you, once we had a conference with some Christian theologians from US in Qom about God. And my presentation was about divine qualities in the Quran. And one of the qualities I mentioned is that God is saying that he is Shakur. He's very grateful. Even not just Shakir. Shakur, very grateful. And then in the break, one of them said, this is a new concept. And he said, you know, maybe we can discuss this in another conference. So he said, we normally don't say God is grateful. But for us, this is part of our understanding of God. So if you do little good, God is grateful. You do good to yourself or other people, but God is grateful. You cannot do anything good for God. Yes? In reality, we cannot do anything good for God. Either we are doing good to ourselves or to other people, not to God himself directly, but still he's grateful. Like when you see your son is helping your daughter, you are grateful. Or you see your son is doing his ibadah during his study, you are grateful. Has not done anything for you. Okay? So Allah is also shakir, but he is also mashkur. Ya khayra shakirin wa mashkur. He's the best one to thank and the best one who thanks. Yes? فَهُوَ مَسْبُوقٌ بِمَعْرِفَتِهِ. So, shukr is preceded by knowing him. Thanking God is preceded by knowing God. وَإِلَّا لَمْ يَكُنْ شُكْرًا. Otherwise, it's not gratefulness. If you don't know who is God, how can you be thankful to God? والباري تعالى منعم. So شكر المنعم is wajib and you have to know منعم. Now, who is منعم here? والباري. باري, what does باري mean?
Creator.
Creator. برأة. برأة means to create. Not برأة. برأة is different. برأة means to create. Bare means creator, but sometimes we do takhfif hamza, so we make hamza, yeah, we say bari, but it's in bare. Original is bare.
Is that the same word which used in Surah Al-Baqarah, ila bareikum?
Yes. So bari ta'ala means God the Almighty. Mun'amun, he's the one who has given us the blessings. فَيَجَبُ شُكْرُهُ. So he's thanking him is necessary. فيجب معرفته. So it's important to necessary to know him so that we can thank him. ولما كان التكليف واجبا في الحكمة كما سيأتي إن شاء الله, as we will discuss later, the wisdom of God, hikmah of God requires takleef. Why God ask us to do certain things? Out of his wisdom, because he knows that we need these irshadat, these instructions from him, these guidelines from him. So takleef is wajib for God, you know, it's part of God's wisdom that he should give us this. وجب معرفة مبلغه. So now we have to know who is the one who makes sure that takleef reaches us. مبلغ, the one who does tabliq, the one who makes sure that it reaches us, which is the prophet. Who brings takleef of God to us? مبلغ here means prophet. We say, you know, to our ulama, مبلغ, for example, because they do tabligh. الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ. So the first مُبَلِّغ is the Prophet himself. He's مُبَلِّغ. Make sure that the message of God reaches us. So you have to know God. Then you have to know how to be grateful to God. You have to know the takleef coming from God, the one who has brought takleef. وَهُوَ النَّبِي وَحَافِذِهِ. Who is the hafiz of takleef? Who is the protector of religion? When the Prophet delivered the message of God, then after the Prophet, who preserved the message? Imam. Well, Imam. So we should know Imam. وَمَعْرِفَةُ الْمَعَادِ. Also we should know Ma'ad, resurrection. Why? Because if there is takleef, there must be jaza, there must be judgment. If there is takleef, but then there is no reward and punishment, so people, you know, who follow takleef and those who don't follow are the same. There must be jaza, resurrection. We will talk about this all later.
I think okay. Takleef, so, takleef means your duties, isn't it?
Yes, duty, yes. Duties. Okay, so far we mentioned two intellectual arguments to show that it is obligatory to know God. Wujub al-ma'rifa, based on two rational arguments. One based on necessity of protecting yourself from the fear, which is caused by controversies. And the second is that you have to be grateful to the one who has blessed you. So first you have to find out whether someone has blessed you and given you all these things, and then how he is, so that you know how to thank him. So these are two arguments. Inshallah, next week we carry on with the arguments based on sam'a, on the scripture. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala